Okay, we're continuing in the Drosha Saran. We had a break for Pesach, but we're back. And we are in the Drosha Achadasar, which in the Mosad of Cooks, we are up to page Taf Nun Ches. We're talking about Navi, how you know who's a true Navi. And now the Ran talks about something that is actually very relevant to Pesach that just passed. A very important question, as you'll see, something that probably bothered you since you were a kid. Okay, aval yesh kan makom shela. So we have a question. This is not the question I'm talking about, but you'll see. We have a question. Shalachar kriyas yamtsuf. After kriyas yamtsuf, matzinu kasa v'yaminu b'Hashem v'Moshe avdo. Right? As we say in Vayoshin, davening every day, when the Jewish people saw kriyas yamtsuf, the sea split, that's when they believed in God and Moshe. V'im kein nira shekonim zeh lohaysom and osam shleim alav. It sounds like before they saw the sea split, that they weren't 100% fully trusting in Moshe and Hashem. Why would that be? So they already saw the Ten Makos. What was special about Kriyas Yamsef? How come they didn't have faith in God or in Moshe or both fully till that point? And what happened then to change their minds? V'atshuva b'zeh, the answer to this is, Shetekev shasa Moshe oso se'emino bo ha'mona gemura. That when Moshe did the miracles, they believed in him 100%. In other words, originally, when Moshe originally came to Jewish people, before the Ten Makos, when he first came and said, hello, Hashem has come to redeem you, and did some miracles, right? He threw down the stick and stuck his hand in his pocket and turned to white. So Moshe did some miracles for them when he first got there. They believed in him right away. As it says, that the nation believed in him. There's nothing better about the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf, of the sea splitting, than all the ten makos that happened, or all the other miracles that have happened. They're all miraculous. None of them were natural. So there's nothing special about Kriyas Yamsuf that's more special than whatever, you know, hail with fire in it. This is what I'm talking about. This question leads us to answer a bunch of other questions that are very important in Yetzias Mitzrayim, things that are big questions. For who? And that is, really, when Moshe first came to the Jewish people and did miracles, they believed in him. The problem was, after Moshe originally came and did his miracles, they saw some things that bothered them. That have to be explained. Rishona, number one. After Moshe comes and they say Hashem wants to take them out of the Mitzrayim, and he's going to do these makos for them, these plagues to get them out of Egypt, bring them to Israel. And Moshe said, Hashem commanded Moshe to say to the Jewish people, go gather the elders of Israel, and say to them, I'm going to take you out of Egypt, to the land flowing with milk and honey. So, if that's the plan, why was there this tricking of Paro? Shiom Rulo, that they'll say to him, Elokeho Ivrim Nikro Elena Valta na Nelcha na Derek Soshamim. We're only gonna go for 3 days. This is the question that probably bothers everybody's been bothering you since you're a little kid. Why on earth did Moshe come in and make a claim that the Jewish people are only leaving for 3 days? This is the way slaves who want to make a trick to God to try to get out. This is what they would do. Shirotsim Livrach Misnakam Aladunayam Livrach. So they, you know, they're trying to escape. So they try to come up with tricks how they could outsmart the master and get out. Remember, this was not a time where God was hiding. This was Moshe and Aaron, they're coming as messengers of God. This is a time of open miracles. So why did the Lo Amru El Paro Biyad Roma? Why didn't they say to Paro, straight, tough, in his face, Shegia Kitzum Shei Yisrael Yigal, the time came for the Jewish people to be redeemed, and you will not be enslaving them anymore, Mr. Paro. Why didn't they just say that straight? You think God couldn't have melted Paro's heart, subjugated him? You think Paro would have just, it's impossible that Paro would have said, okay, let them go, if they had said it straight? If 10 makos wouldn't have been enough, Yosef Alemod, Alem Kahina. Well, could do 30 makos. Eventually, Paro would have broken, right? As we know, the Pesukim say God had a heart in Paro's heart to not, so that he shouldn't let the Jewish people go. Paro would have cracked. That was not the issue, as the Pesukim say. So what was the problem? Why didn't they tell him straight? Paro, we're leaving. Goodbye. Forever. This was such a question that it's something that bothered the Jewish people about Moshe coming and saying that he's the Navi of Hashem. Even though originally they fully believed Moshe when he did the miracles for them, as the Pasuk says, and the nation believed. Because now they had a question. If this is really the messenger of God, if this is the messenger of God, like he said, why is he afraid to tell Paro the truth? This is really a very unclear thing that needs to be explained, why this was done. Even if we kind of come up with some tochek, some forced answer, some difficult answer, you'll say the reason he did this is kedei laharos koshi arpo shel Paro, to show what a stubborn guy Paro was. Shagam bedavar hakal, because even in this small request, Yema'in l'shmo b'dvar Hashem Yisbarach, even in this small request of only 3 days, he refused to listen to Hashem. Maybe you could say that's why he said 3 days, to show what a rush of Paro was. Still, Adayin Yishar Elano Makam Savi Gadol, we still have another very big important question. Ba'omro Dabir Nab Azneyam B'Yishalot, the other funny thing about how they left. Moshe told everyone, or Hashem told Moshe to tell everyone, that they should borrow stuff from the Mitzrim. Zeb emes nira inyan zar matmio. This is very, very strange. That whole thing they borrowed, they went, remember, everybody knows the story by Choshech, that they saw what the Mitzrim had, and when there was time to leave, they said, oh, can we borrow some stuff? And they said, oh, I don't have any. Oh, and during Choshech, I was in your house and I saw you have money hidden in your closet. They borrowed the money, never brought it back. Why? Even though it's true, like we all know, they weren't really stealing it because they owed it to them. They had wrongfully enslaved them for hundreds of years. They owed them money for their work. Like it says in the Gemara. Still, why didn't they do it straight? Just say, hello, Mitzrim, you owe us money, give it to us. It's wise for you to listen to us. God seems to be on our side right now. It doesn't seem right that they should have done this backhanded way. Even if the Jews really couldn't have forced the Egyptians to pay them, still, this is not the right way to go about it. Certainly, the Mitzrim would have listened. They were scared as anything of the Jews. The Jews would have just said, guys, you owe us money. They would have been, okay, here, go, leave. If they would have said, look, you worked us for these years, here's how much you owe us, they would have given to them. Chazal tell us, if somebody owes you money, don't go into his backyard when he's not looking and steal it. You look like a thief. Tell him straight. Go in front of his face, take it, and say, I'm taking what you owe me. So why didn't the Jews just do that? Say, hello, you owe us money, we're taking it. These two things led the Jewish people to have a suffix, a doubt about whether the Moshe is really the Shliach of Hashem, because this doesn't seem to be the way Hashem would want things done. So they were, because of both of these reasons, Moshe is saying they're only going for 3 days, and also because they had to do this trick about borrowing the money. So they both left them with doubts as to Moshe's claim that he was really the Navi of Hashem. But Heter Elushtei Akushis, the answer to both of these things that bothered him, Hudavar Echad, is really the same one answer. Here's the answer to those big questions. Shemidarche Hashem Yisbarach Hu Lahavi Eitos Mirachok Lahapil Son of Bedino. It is God's way to come up with, to have plans to make it that he could take vengeance from his enemies, v'lakachas nikmasam him, to take vengeance on them. K'mo she'amar ha'navi, like the Navi says, Hashem Elokai, ata ramimcha, it says in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Hashem my God, I will praise you, odcha shimcha, will thank you, ki asisa pela, etzos meirachok, you did wonders, and your plans are from far, far away. Emuna omen ki samta meir lagav, and because I see you took vengeance. In other words, when God wants to take vengeance on people, so his plan goes from far, far away. So in other words, it's a far out plan. Rotzalomer, what this means is Hashem is barach, maybe Eitzes Merachak, Hashem brings plans from afar, Lehinakim Mitzarev, to take vengeance from his enemies, Lehavi Plav Aladerach Shirotze, to make his miracles and do what he needs to do to his enemies. So, now we remember, right, Hashem, when he punishes people or rewards them, it's always, everything is always Mida Kenegan Mida. The way, what you did, you get right back, whether good or bad. Hashem wanted to, the punishment of the Mitzrim should be that they all drown in the sea. Which is what they did to the Jewish people. Like Yisro says, because, like Yisro said, I know that Hashem now is the greatest of all gods because the Mitzrim were punished with what they tried to do to the Jews. So Hashem wanted to bring it that the Mitzrim would throw themselves into the sea, right? The Mitzrim came and they threw the Jewish children into the sea and they drowned. So the punishment for them is that the Mitzrim should throw themselves into the sea and drown. How are we going to do that? We need Eitzos Mirachak, plans. Hashem had a plan to get them to throw themselves into the sea. If Moshe would have just walked in there and said, Paro, we're leaving. Goodbye. So of course, Paro, after all the Makos, eventually would have said, okay, go, 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 like he eventually did. And he never would have ran after them. Why would he run after them after he sent them? After he kicked them out because he was so afraid, why would he ever run after them? Therefore, Hashem told Moshe not to tell Paro the thing straight. But just tell Paro that we're going on a trip for 3 days. Because then he's going to find out after 3 days that the nation ran away. So Paro is going to think what he thought. And Paro thought, which is what he should have been thinking, it must not have been from God, Paro thought. This was a trick. Because if that wasn't true, if he was really representing God, why would Moshe have said this thing about him going just for 3 days to do karbanos? It must be that God wasn't with him. Right, so that's what gave Paro the gumption to say, hey, this was all a trick, I'm going after them. Same reason why Hashem told the people to ask to borrow the stuff from the Mitzrim, their kalim, their money from the Mitzrim. Because really, the money was theirs, they were entitled to the money, because the Egyptians owed the Jews for all the work they had done. They could have came straight and said, you owe us money, give it to us. So Hashem commanded them to do it in a backwards way. Even though this appeared to the Jewish people to be strange, which is why exactly Hashem had to tell Moshe, please tell the people. Na means please. Please ask the people to borrow the money. And that means to say, like Hashem was saying, I know the Jewish people are good people. They're not going to want to do things in a tricky, backhanded way. They would want to do it honestly and say, give us the money you owe us. But still, Hashem says, Moshe, tell the Jewish people, just listen to me, do it this way, and don't ask questions. When everybody heard, when Paro heard, when the Mitzrim heard that the Jewish people were escaping, certainly the Mitzrim would have thought that this is all a trick. Because if not, why would they do such tricks if God was saving them? All of them gave them the incentive. Without any doubt, the road from to chase after them. This trick is what gave them the desire to run after the Jewish people. After being so afraid of them, it's because they found out, oh, it must have been a trick. That's what caused them to run after the Jews. Because if Moshe would have said it straight, that we're leaving, they never would have chased them. If they would have said, we're leaving and we're taking our money like you owe us. So the Egyptians want to chase after them. The whole plan here, the Jewish people didn't chap. They didn't know that this was the plan. Maybe even Moshe didn't know. That's why the Jewish people weren't really sure that Moshe was really representing God, even though they originally believed him. That's why it says, the Jewish people saw what God did in Mitzrayim. What it means to say is, us at Kriyas Yam, so finally, he kirush, kol ma'asha yu muflayim, even though they realized everything that they hadn't understood tchila originally, mistapnimon, that we'd be in doubt about, shlohaya raklasab, bim shemitzrayim atzmi yichnesu bayam. The whole point of that whole story was just to get the Jewish people, the Mitzrayim to chase after them, so that they would be throwing themselves into the sea. Vozuasi bebatma, who shakasa be Kriyas Yam, and it's for that very reason that it writes by Kriyas Yam, that's also why God had to make it, right? It says by the splitting of the sea that there was this wind blowing the whole night, a very strong wind. So the strong wind made it look like maybe that's what split the sea. There's no strong wind like that on the planet. No one could have, if they would have thought about it, honestly, nobody could have really thought that a strong wind would have made the sea split. He wanted to give the Mitzrayim a straw to grasp onto them. Maybe it was just a really strong wind. That's how it split. Why did he need to do that? Lones to think it's not a miracle. Because if it would have been obvious, super obvious, without any straw to grasp onto, that it was a miracle, nobody would have ran in. The Mitzrayim wouldn't have ran into the sea. And that's stupid. And don't be surprised why Hashem would have tricked Paro like this. Hashem did bigger tricks. Hashem told the Jewish people to hang out near Baal Tzifon, one of the idols, so that they should think that it's their idol that's going to get them. And that's why they weren't, you know, that's why Hashem made them hang out by Baal's phone, so they should think it's that particular Avodah Zarah that's going to save the Mitzrayim. So now we have the answer to all the questions. So Hashem made the wind, very strong wind, so that it should look like it's possibly natural, and it could go back with this whole theory that Paro now was thinking, and all the Egyptians, that it was all a trick, and they saw the sea split. Oh yeah, did you see that wind? It's all a trick. All this was necessary to get the Mitzrayim to throw themselves into the sea. That's the answer to all the questions, and we're going to stop here now and continue next time. If I could just add one last point before we end, my own personal thought, and that is why it had to be done in a tricky way, even though the Ran explained to us why this had to be done in order to get the Mitzrayim to throw themselves into the sea. But still, why did it have to happen in a backwards way? Couldn't God have come up with another way? Isn't there another way? Maybe you'll say, no, there isn't. Okay. I want to suggest, perhaps, that we know the Medrash tells us that the way Paro got the Jews to be slaves to start with, it wasn't a decree one day all Jews were slaves. It was trickery. Paro said, we need people to labor, we need, everyone has to put in their share, and he got everyone to show up, and pretty soon the Mitzrayim stopped working, and the Jews were left as slaves. So they were tricked into being slaves. So part of the Mida Keneged Mida was he was tricked into what he got tricked into, throwing himself in the sea. That's my own theory. The Ran does not say that. Anyway, I just wanted to make that suggestion. Okay, we'll continue next time.